Now we want to conclude what we began a week ago on Wednesday night on the subject of the ministration of the Holy Spirit, or a better way of putting it on to speak of the ministry of the new covenant which has been committed to the people of God. And we're working out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we begin in our reading in chapter 2. And since we had that very long reading last week, as I went through this section, I'm just going to point out a number of things tonight without reading every verse. I want to read, however, verses 14 through 17 of chapter 2, because what you have in chapter 3 and chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, is based upon these final words in chapter 2, where Paul says in verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Now, when Paul says, who is sufficient for these things, he answers that question, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 3, and he goes all the way through that third chapter. He's answering that question, who is sufficient for these things? And his answer is, in verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, or the new testament. And that's what the word testament and covenant mean. The new covenant, not of the letter, for the letter was the old covenant, but of the Spirit. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, when you read that expression, the Spirit giveth life, you could drop right down to verse 17, where we read, now the Lord is that Spirit. Between verse 6 and verse 17, we have a great contrast between the glory of the old covenant under Moses and the glory of the new covenant that is ours now by divine grace. And we have that blessed contrast in the passage. And then in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we notice, because we have this ministry, because the ministry of the new covenant has been committed unto us, that we then bring into play what is written in verse 17 of chapter 2, the final verse, where he says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. He now says in verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We don't walk in craftiness. And since we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, this becomes very real to the child of God who seeks to minister unto the Lord and for the Lord, who seeks to witness for him. So let us read the first 7 verses of chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come and ask and receive because we ask in the name that you delight to honor, even thy dear Son. We thank you for his blood and righteousness, that we can say with Zinzendorf of old, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. In mid flaming worlds with these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And we thank you, our Father, that our hope is in the Lord, and that our hope for the future, as well as for time, is based upon the fact that Jesus' blood has procured our redemption, and that his righteousness makes us acceptable in thy holy presence. We rejoice, our Father, in all that you have provided for us by divine grace, for it is to the praise of the glory of thy grace that we have this blessed portion that is ours tonight. And we thank you tonight for the indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We thank you that our ministry is that of the new covenant. Our ministry is that which enables us to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we behold it in the mirror of thy word. This is what makes the gospel precious and alive and working in our lives. And we pray, O God, that we may have the experience in 1989 of seeing thy good hand in revival. Save precious sinners, we pray thee, for you have far more desire to save sinners than any sinner ever had of coming to you. For there is none that seeketh after God, and apart from thy divine working, none would ever come. We stand amazed at our hopeless and our helpless condition apart from Jesus Christ. But our Father, we thank you that you have committed unto us this blessed New Testament ministry. And we thank you for everyone who is engaged in proclaiming the gospel. Make thy word real and rich, and cause thy name to be glorified. We commit our way to thee. We think of those who have recently gone back to school, and we ask your blessing upon them. We think especially of the missions conference at Bryan this week. And we pray that as it pleases you, you would graciously call into your service, according to your will, to use for your glory those whom you call and who submit to the authority of your light, of your lordship over their lives in diligent service to yourself. We thank you for our young people. We thank you for the growth in grace. We thank you for the expectation that you've given us concerning their future service for yourself, and all we can do is rejoice. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Not only to give us a great inheritance in our young people, in children, but also to see them taking hold of the things of God and moving on. And all we can do is give thee our praise and grateful thanks. Father, we ask for our Sunday school tonight. We ask you to bless those in a special way, who study, who prepare, and who work with our boys and girls. We ask you to increase them, the boys and girls. We pray for families, that they may come along, and that our Sunday school will grow, as well as the number of adults, and that you will be pleased, O God, to graciously add to our numbers. We long to see this. We believe it would be an evidence of thy definite blessing upon the work. And we ask you to increase our numbers with genuine unity of the Spirit and a desire to glorify you. To this end, we just ask you to speak to our hearts tonight as we consider the ministration of the Holy Spirit. For the Lord Jesus' sake, amen. God has been pleased to send the Holy Spirit unto us. He indwells every child of God. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the fulfillment of the promise of our Lord Jesus himself. This is why the rock was smitten. This is why Christ died. He died in order that we might receive as Gentiles the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham is that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And blessed is the man whose ministry is that of the Holy Spirit. Now again, I want you to turn to John 15, the last two verses in that chapter, and we want to see the merging of the ministry, that of the Holy Spirit and that of the child of God. Verse 26, John 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And I pointed out last week that the word testify in verse 26, that has reference to the Holy Spirit, is the same Greek word that is translated bear witness in verse 27 and has definite reference to the child of God. Now, blessed is the child of God whose ministry is that of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we have this blessed ministry. And last week I pointed out that it is a transforming ministry. It is from glory to glory. It is progressive in our lives. And we should see where we're making progress. As the children of God, in our growth in the Lord, and in our enjoyment of Bible study and fellowship and witnessing for the Lord. Now, in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 3, we read, now the Lord is that Spirit. He is the Spirit who enables us to be able ministers of the new covenant. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, that's in contrast to Moses, as we're going to notice in a moment, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we'll notice here, it is progressive in our lives. And this isn't for just a few believers. We all, and he encompasses all the family of God. This is not something that is true of this one, and they're special. God has no special children. There are not some who are up here and others who are down here in the sight of God. For my Bible says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. And I don't find second-class believers in it, and first-class believers. We are all first-class believers in the sight of God. Now, we have gifts that differ one from another. But as far as God is concerned, we are all first-class believers. Now, this glorious ministry of the new covenant is contrasted with the glory of the old covenant that was manifested on the face of Moses. Now, what God did for Moses, for when Moses was on the mountain with God, what God did for Moses, the Spirit of God does for us. The old covenant came with glory, and the glory of the old covenant was reflected in the face of Moses. For his face shone. And the glory of the Old Testament law, seen in the face of Moses, was as much the glory of God, friends, as that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. What's the difference? In terms of law, they couldn't look upon it. So when I read verse 18, we all with unveiled face. Oh, do I get that? In terms of law, they couldn't look upon the glory that was on Moses' face. But now in this blessed age when the Spirit indwells us, we all with unveiled face, we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where? As we study the Word. You see, the mirror is the Word of God. And we go from one position of glory to another as we behold His glory in the Word. Oh, what a portion is ours. The children of Israel couldn't look upon Moses. But we can behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We all with unveiled face beholding are changed. That's what this text says. Now what is the law? The law is the expression of the holy character of God. The holy moral character of God. Did you ever ask yourself the question, what is God like? What is God like? Well, honor thy father and thy mother. Have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. But there's a problem. The problem is this. Knowing God's moral character doesn't make me one bit better. No person is ever changed by knowing God's moral character. Because the moral character of God does one thing to us. It condemns us. That's why when you read this third chapter and it speaks of the law, it speaks of that which condemns us, that which was a ministration of death in spite of the glory upon the face of Moses. But you see, knowing God's moral character doesn't make me one bit better, but John 1:16 says something of His fullness, speaking of the person of Christ. Have all we received, and grace upon grace. Who has received it? Everyone who is the Lord. And John the Baptist, who could say, we didn't receive any glory from Moses or the law, but of His glory all we prophets have received. Grace upon grace of His fullness. It is ours. Now the day came when Moses came down from the mountain. Now, this was a real experience for Moses. You know why? He didn't know his face shone. Anybody who has to go around and say, look at my experience, something's wrong. Moses had an experience with God, but he didn't know his face shone. And we won't know when ours shines either, from being in the face of Jesus Christ. Someone had to tell Moses. And then Moses put the veil over his face because of the glory that was fading away. But the glory, friends, revealed in the new covenant through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The children of Israel couldn't look at Moses' glory or the glory of God on the face of Moses, but we certainly can look upon the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we don't put a veil over our face. It is with unveiled face that we behold His glory. Now, God revealed in the law works out a righteousness in redeemed lives, transformed lives. Now, God doesn't save us to break God's law. God saves us in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. A child of God doesn't break the law of God. A child of God, through the ministry of the Spirit within, in his own transformed life, he does it not by trying, but by looking. Looking at Christ, we are transformed. We're not transformed by trying to keep the law. We are transformed by looking at Christ and of His fullness receiving that which is necessary that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Not by us, but in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now this is a new covenant. This is new covenant ministry. The Holy Spirit of God wants to write on our hearts and change our lives into the moral character of Jesus Christ. That's what His work is in us. How does He do it? Beholding Him, we're changed. When we read of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, in Hebrews chapter 8, and in Hebrews chapter 10, the emphasis is on this. In their minds and hearts will I write my law. It's inward, friends, and it works its way upward. This is one of the ways we can tell that we're genuinely born of God. There's an inward desire to please Him. That inward desire to please Him, by then looking into the mirror of His words, the glory is transforming our lives from the inside, and it manifests itself in righteousness on the outside. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let us look at chapter 4. In chapter 2, the cry goes out by Paul when he hears and when he writes that we are a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. He cries out, who is sufficient for these things? And he says our sufficiency can come only from one direction. From the inward ministry of the Spirit of God. He alone can make us able ministers of the new covenant. Now, chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Notice, it is a particular ministry. It is this ministry. What kind of a ministry? It is the glorious ministry of the Spirit of God. He has made us an able minister of the new covenant. So this ministry, it's a particular ministry to us. And it manifests itself, now notice, in renouncing. There's a renunciation, hidden things of dishonesty, and walking in craftiness. The person who is spending time in the Word of God, whose ministry is that of the Holy Spirit, does not walk in craftiness. There's no deception. There's a renunciation of the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, in the 17th verse of chapter 2, the last verse of that chapter, Paul says, we're not as many. Paul puts himself into a category different from those who do not have this ministry. He says, we're not as many which corrupt the word of God. That word corrupt is an interesting word, if it's followed through in its meaning. We're not as many, and I'm going to make a very literal translation here. We're not as many who would water down the wine. And the word is taken from the shopkeepers of Greece, who they added water to the wine, it became weaker, and they made more money. They could sell more wine, but it really wasn't wine, it was water. And that's the thought of corrupting. Paul says we don't corrupt the word of God. We don't corrupt the word of God. And with this particular ministry, we don't corrupt. But then he adds, but as of sincerity, we minister under the eye of God and in the sight of God. We're conscious of the fact that God is looking on and listening to our ministry. We're conscious of that. That's what he's saying. So he says, seeing we have this ministry. And that word therefore is a conclusion of that which has been given on this subject in the third chapter. Because it is our privilege with unveiled face to behold in the mirror of the word his glory, this is our ministry. And seeing it, then we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. But then there's not only renunciation, there is realization. For he says, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, we preach under the eye of God and in the sight of God. Chapter 2 and verse 17. And in the sight of God, we commend everyone, every man's conscience, to God. Oh, friends, what a privilege. What a responsibility. It's a particular ministry. But notice, it's a present ministry, not a future ministry. It's present. Notice the word. Therefore, seeing we have. And those words we have reference to this new covenant age. It's not something I'm going to get when I get to heaven and I have a glorified body. It is something that I have right now that God is working out in a transformed life. Seeing we have. It is a present ministry. Now, because of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we are able ministers of the new covenant. Having the Holy Spirit as a blessed indwelling presence of God Himself, what more could we have in this age? God has given us Himself. Now this ministry which we have, according to verse 8 of chapter 3, is more glorious. It's more glorious. Now, where do we have this ministry? In a clay pot. Chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. And the treasure is the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure where? In an earthen vessel. You and I are vessels that are easily broken. We are clay pots. And all you have to do to break a clay pot, you just drop it, not far, just a little bit. God knows how frail we are, and God knows how fragile we are. But now notice something else. It's not only a particular ministry, it is this ministry. Not only is it a present ministry, we have it. Now, it is a perceptive ministry. Notice the word, therefore, seeing. This is something that others can see in us. They beheld the glory of the old covenant in the face of Moses. And the other believers are able to see the ministry of the Spirit of God in transformed lives. Something we can see, friends. It's perceptive. The Israelites couldn't look on Moses. Oh no. But that glory that is now in the face of Jesus Christ, we are able to behold. And we can behold it in the brother who has beheld it in Christ. My, how we should pray that this ministry might be more and more manifested in our lives, a perceptive ministry. Finally, one more thing. It's a propitious ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, just as you and I have received from God, now this ministry is toward others. It is the work of Calvary. For our text says, if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. You often wish for a good memory. I remember I was about 6 years of age. My parents took me to visit to a Bible conference, and I heard old Dr. Dehon. And boy, I remember two illustrations he used, but I don't remember all of it. One I'll never forget, though, about the man who's a believer who went to a lumber camp in Canada. And they warned him when he went, you're going to be around some tough, rough men. And he came back and someone said to him, well, how did you make out? He said, no one ever found out that I was a Christian. I'll never forget that. I was just a wee boy when I heard that. And you know, a little fella looks at things a lot different. I thought, well, boy, he was pretty slick. He got through that all right, you know. Well, now I don't think he was so slick after all. And then he told used another illustration. And I believe it was the same day of how they cleaned out a well in order that they could use and drink of the water from that well and all the things that they cleaned out of the well in order to make it useful. This ministry, friends, is based on the work of Christ. If our gospel be hidden, to whom do we hide it? To them that are lost. People all about us are lost. And when you look into the mirror, you must confess one thing to the Lord. At least I must. God saves the most unlikely people. He saved the most unlikely people. 158 in our black worship hymn book, the third stanza, why was I made to hear thy voice and enter Wilder's room when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? You'll never imagine whom God is going to save. God is full of surprises, and he hasn't revealed it to any of us. He's told us to preach the gospel to every creature. So if our gospel is hidden, if we hide it, it's hidden to them that are lost. And this is one of the reasons when I examine the 34th Psalm, one of my favorite Psalms, and I think of children in the Sunday school, I think of the blessedness of the ministry to children. The word of God there, the psalmist says, come, my children. I think it's about verse 11. Come, my children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Sunday school teacher may not have many to teach. Sometimes it may become discouraging. But you know, if you have one or two that you can say to in a coming day, come, my children, hearken unto me. And you see the evidence of the teaching. It's a blessing to the heart. If our gospel be hidden. Now we're going to either do one of two things. We're going to preach the gospel, or we're going to preach ourselves. You see, when you look at that verse 5, we read, for we preach not ourselves. New covenant ministry is not preaching ourselves.
and he's preaching Christ. We're either going to preach the gospel to poor sinners, or we're going to preach ourselves. If we preach ourselves, we've done nothing. But if we preach Christ, a work is done if a person trusts Christ or if he doesn't, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Oh, may God make